Praise God. It is so good to be together again to lift high the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he promised in his word that if we lift up his name, he will draw all men unto you. So this afternoon, I just want to thank God for the privilege of being here in beautiful Queenstown and to be with you lovely ladies again. And today, like I told you yesterday, I am no preacher. Jesse, the Lord called him to do the preaching, but I just stand with him and encourage him to do what God has chosen him to do. And this ministry just took off after the Lord healed me. We didn't ask to do what we're doing. God anointed this and God chose Jesse to do this. And I am just the one standing behind him. And you heard the testimony this morning how the Lord healed me of this brain tumor. And this year, on the 25th of September, will be 25 years since the Lord healed me. And he is the God of his word. I am here today just to share with you how good God has been in our lives. He truly is a good God. And the 25 years that we have been, since the Lord has healed me, we've been living by faith. And I tell you, it is a really, really exciting life. And as I share today, you'll be encouraged. Because God just doesn't heal only. He is my everything. He is my all. You know the songwriter wrote that? He is my everything. And he is my all. And I'm living proof here today that surely he is my everything. And not only did Jesus heal me, but he has done great and wonderful things. And today some of you might have problems. I don't really know any of you, but I know in the natural we all do have problems sometimes or the other. But today I want to encourage you that my God, I hope that he's the same God that you and I serve, is bigger than all your problems put together. And no matter what your problem is today, I have good news for you, that Jesus is the answer. Not only for you, but he is the answer for the whole world. And that is why he came. He came into this world to reconcile man back to God. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, Satan thought that he had them. But little did he realize the plan that God had even before the foundations of this world, that he was going to send his dear beloved son to die on that cross to redeem us from the curse of sin. And that is why we can have this life, and not only just an ordinary life, but when Jesus came, he came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I am standing here today as living proof that he is a God of the abundant life. And today as I share, I don't share from some book that I have read. I love reading. I used to really love reading. But ever since we got into this ministry, it seems like reading has taken a back place in my life. I could read a book, a real thick book. I could finish it in one day. I love reading so much. But that has fallen away because I loved reading the Word of God. I love going and helping people. I love going and praying for people. But I do not share anything from books that I have read or from what I've heard, stories of other people. I share from my own personal experience because my God is personal to me. So I will share of some of the mistakes that I have made. You can learn from my mistakes. You don't have to make the same mistakes that I made. But you can learn from those mistakes. You can also learn from the good things that have come out from the mistakes that I have made. So I want to encourage you today, you focus on the Lord. It's not about me. Everything is about him. And that's all I do is I go and tell everybody about him. I read this thing somewhere and I could tell this to everybody. I am a nobody who loves to go and tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I am here today to tell you about, this wonderful, this true, this mighty God. And he is true, and he is living, and he is real. He's not some myth like we used to in Hinduism. We used to serve those gods. The God that I serve today is a true and a living God. And I didn't find him, he found me. Because that's what his word says. He found each one of us here, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And today, just be encouraged as you listen, that if he can do it for me, he can do it for you as well. No matter what your needs are. Today you might have a physical need. You might have a financial need. You might have a marital problem. You might need healing for or restoration in family affairs, like our dear sister Lena, where the Lord restored her sister to her. And you might also have all kinds of needs, but Jesus is your answer today. And just focus on him and be encouraged today that if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. So let's go back to where it began. I was born in a staunch Hindu family. I shared a little bit this morning, but I was born into a staunch Hindu family. I was the second of 8 children, and I was the eldest girl. And every Sunday, I remember a dear lady would from down the road, she would gather all the children. She was like the Pied Piper. Remember the story of the Pied Piper of Hamelin? She would gather all the children and she would take us all to Sunday school. And my mom was very willing to send us off, so at least she would have some peace and quietness at home for about 2 or 3 hours. Little realizing that this was God's plan. So a few of us at home would go to Sunday school. And I would love to go to Sunday school, and I'd love enjoying singing, because they used to teach us all these lovely Sunday school songs. And every week we'd be given a little Bible text, and we had to learn it off by heart. So the next week when we went, and if we were able to recite the Bible verse, we would be given something. So we would, during the course of the week, we'd try and remember this Bible verse so that we could recite it the following week. But those little Bible verses was being seeds planted in our hearts. As little children, that's why the Word of God says, train up a child in the way that he should go, that when he grows up, he will not depart from it. Some of you that might have children that have gone astray, that have backslidden, don't be discouraged. Those children, you continue praying, they will come back because you sowed the seeds when they were little. So we used to go off to Sunday school and enjoy it and come back home. And we continued going to Sunday school till 1974, when my dad got sick. Those that were at the meeting this morning heard that as well. My dad got sick, and because of sugar diabetes, he had a whole lot of complications setting in. And slowly, his organs started failing. And here he was lying in this hospital bed, dying. And one of Mum's cousin came to pay her respects to him before he died. And she shared to him about the love of Jesus, how Jesus came into this world to die for sinners. And she told my dad, you are a sinner. My dad said, no, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good man. I try to do everything that is right. She says, doesn't matter how good you think in your eyesight you are still a sinner and you need a savior. And the only savior that you can have, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And she shared with my dad about the Lord, but she was more concerned about where my dad was going to spend eternity. And you know, while we're on this earth, and while we still have the breath of life in us, we make the choice where we are going to spend eternity. You can either spend it with the Lord Jesus Christ in paradise, or you can spend it with Satan in hell. And it's up to us today, where will we spend eternity? So she posed this question to my dad. And my dad looked at her and he said, well, we've done everything. In Hinduism, we have so many gods. Apparently in India, there's about millions of gods there. Every little thing is a god for them. They can take a stone and they can call that a god and they can worship that god. They can take trees and every little thing becomes a god. They even worship the rat. I seen a program on TV where they had this rat temple in India. It was so bad because they had thousands and thousands of rats, and they bring all their food and offer it to these rats, and the rats will eat whatever they can, and they will mess on that, and they will do all their things on it, and then they, after that, they think that that food is so blessed, they will take it and eat it. That's the God that we served, and they're still doing it in India, but we served all kinds of gods. And while I was in Sunday school, I used to look at these Christians there and the children, and everybody was so happy. My Sunday school teachers, they were all so happy, and I And I used to think, but how come when we go to the Hindu temples, everybody has such a glum face? And I thought about it in my little mind. I said, oh, maybe it's because the God that they serve. And then I used to look at the pictures and the idols of the gods that we worship. They sure look scary. They look very, very scary. If you see some of these, they look very hideous. But we were taught that they were gods. And we knew nothing better. So we worshipped them. And we used to question the adults. We used to ask them, why is this God looking so ugly and so scary? Because we used to fright sometimes to go before these so-called gods. And the elders would tell us, you mustn't talk like that. God will punish you. So we were brought up to worship these so-called gods in fear. But when in Sunday school, we were like, we had a different kind of peace come upon us because everybody was so happy. I mean, we couldn't see this God that they worshipped. But they would worship this God in such a joyful way. They would sing and clap and make a joyful noise. And they had this beautiful countenance. And I said, Lord, when I grow up, I want to be a Christian, Lord. I love the way these Christians look and the way they behave rather than going to the temple and being so glum. And you know, the Lord knew my little heart in those days and He gave me the desire of my heart. In 1974, on my dad's deathbed, when my mom's cousin came to pay her respects to him, my dad put forth this challenge and he said, if your God is God, then your God doesn't have to heal me, because my dad didn't know much about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he said, your God doesn't have to heal me. But all I ask of your God is to make me walk out of this hospital. Dad had become bedridden by that time. And 2 days later, my mom's cousin prayed for him and she went off. But 2 days later, he not only walked out of that hospital, but he walked out totally healed. And this is the mercy of God upon us. Because He loved us so much. He wasn't concerned that we worshipped all these idols and all the things that we did. But He just loved us. He wanted us to be saved. And when my dad opened his heart to the Lord, He came in and he made his abiding place in my dad's heart and He saved him. And for good measure, He healed him and my dad walked out. That's how we became. That's how Christianity came into our home in 1974. And then the years went on. I finished schooling. I went to college. I graduated as a school teacher. And then I was thinking, oh Lord, if you want me to get married, then you must send me the right person. Because there's so many people that you can get married to. But is it the right one? You know, I read this somewhere. If you are unequally yoked, if you marry a child of the devil, you're going to have problems with your father-in-law. Think about that. You'll have problems with your father-in-law if you marry a child of the devil. So that's why the Lord put it in His word, do not be unequally yoked. He wants you to marry the right person. He wants you to marry a child of God. So it will save you from unnecessary problems in the future. And I prayed about it and the Lord sent me Jesse. And we've been married, this year will be 35 years we'll be married. And the Lord has given us 3 beautiful children. But you know the testimony. I'm not going to go into that, how the Lord healed me of this brain tumor. And as I started studying God's word, I found out, firstly, He is my healer. And He healed me when I needed healing on my deathbed. Then I also found that He is my Savior. That was the first thing. He is my Savior when He saved me. And then I started praying, because in Sunday school we were taught that if you pray to the Lord Jesus Christ in your childlike way, He will answer your prayers. So I said, Lord, it's so good, Lord, to be a Christian. It is so wonderful. This is such a new experience, because the word tells us any man in Christ Jesus is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. And I said, Lord, I feel so new inside me. So in 1974, when my dad got saved, I got baptized. My dad and my brother and sister got baptized. So 4 of us in the family got baptized. But my mother was such a staunch Hindu. She was, I won't say as staunch as an elder sister. Now my mother, her mother, my grandmother, maternal grandmother died when my mother was about 5 years old. And she had a little sister after her. So my mother's elder sister was like the matriarch of the family. She brought up my mother and her little sister and the sister older than my mom. So this eldest sister, my eldest aunt, was like more the mother figure to my mother than her own mother. So she brought up. Now this aunt was a really, really staunch Hindu lady. She had so many gods and she used to teach us about Hinduism when we were little kids. And I remember we used to go to, she had a thing called Tamil school because the language that we spoke was Tamil. And I hated going to Tamil school, but this aunt was so insistent that we had to learn about Hinduism. She would send some of these big boys that used to come to her school. They had to come and drag us from our home to go and learn this thing about Hinduism. And I hated it, but I loved going to Sunday school. But this aunt had a very profound influence over my mother. Whatever she would say, my mother would listen because she virtually brought my mother up. And when my dad became a Christian, mom wouldn't accept the Lord. And even when she seen how the Lord healed my dad, she still wouldn't accept it because of this influence of her sister. And my mom and her sister lived next door to each other. So whatever the aunt said, my mom would listen. And in 2008, we got a phone call from South Africa that my mom was dying. And Jesse and I and the three children fell on our knees and we cried to God because we knew if my mom died, she was going to a lost eternity. She had a one-way ticket to hell. And if you study the word and you hear what's going on, hell is a terrible place. It is not a place that God created for any human being. It was created there for Satan and his demon angels. And we knew that mom was going to go there. Because mom had become a very hard person after my dad died. And she had a lot of unforgiveness and a lot of bitterness within her. And she became a very hard woman. And it was every time we went to South Africa, we would share to her about how good God was. She said, all right, he's good for y'all. That's fine. I'm happy for y'all. But she wouldn't want to accept him. And here we get this phone call, mom's dying in hospital. And so we fell down on our knees and we prayed and we said, Lord, please, Lord, give her one more chance. You are the God of the second chance. Give my mom just one more chance, Lord. And if you heal her now, we will make sure we go back to South Africa and do our part. We will try and lead her to you. And God heard our prayers and he restored my mom. So we went back that end of that year. Mom still wouldn't accept the Lord. But she related to us a strange experience she had. While she was in that hospital, that time when she was dying, my brother worked in that same hospital. He worked in the admin that was in the front of the hospital. Mom was far away from the admin department. But mom screamed so badly and so loud and that my brother in the admin office heard it. And he came running to the ward where my mom was. And she was screaming and she was just terrified. Like she had seen something that she couldn't understand and she was just screaming in fear. So when we went back, she related to us what had happened. She said, while she was in this hospital, she seen these two ugly, really, she said, I can't describe how ugly these beings were. But there they came to my hospital bed and one took my left arm and the other took my right arm and they were leading me down this narrow path. And that's when she was so terrified. She said, I could see smoke coming out in the distance and they were taking me towards the smoke. And that's when she screamed. She screamed so loudly in fear that my brother heard it. And we were praying and interceding in Australia and God gave her that second chance. And here we were. And she related to us how ugly these two beings were. And we realized those were the two angels that come to escort people to hell. That was hell and death escorting her. And there was another man that we ministered to in Australia. He confirmed the same thing when he was dying. These two ugly angels were coming to take him as well to hell. And before we left South Africa back to Australia, we were concerned this might be the last time we might see my mother. And this was the only opportunity we'd have again to make sure that she go to be with the Lord. The day before we were leaving to come back to Australia, Jesse sat down with my mom and he shared the Lord. And he said, this is what is going to happen. He related to her about those two ugly demon spirits. They were demon spirits escorting her to hell. And he said, if you don't repent now, and if I don't see you again, those two ugly demon spirits that you've seen are going to come back and they're going to take you to that place and there is no return there. And mom, she thought about it. And she raised her hand and she said, I surrender. And Jesse had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. And that was the last time we seen her, because we came back to Australia and the following year, Mum went to be with the Lord. So the Bible is so true that He is the God of His Word. And we have been praying for my mum, that my mum accepts the Lord. So I say He is my Savior. And if you know the story of the jailer, when Paul and Silas were in prison, remember when the prison, there was an earthquake and the prison doors, everything was shaken and God let them out. And the jailer was wanting to commit suicide when he realized what had happened to Paul and Silas. And before he could kill himself, Paul and them said, don't do anything of that sort. We are still here. And then the jailer asked him, what can I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy household. And that's what we stand on, that word. We always stand that if God can save us, He can save our household as well. So you can stand on that same promise today, that if He saved you, He can save your household. If you have backslidden spouses, He will save them. If you have backslidden children, He will restore them, bring them back. The prodigal sons, prodigal daughters will come back if you stand on the word of God, because the God of the word always stands by His word. So mom got saved and my other siblings got saved. But you know the staunch Indo auntie that I had, my mom's elder sister, she was so staunch. Everybody thought that you cannot break through with her. But you know the God that you and I serve, He can break through anything. The strongest wall He can break through. The highest mountain He can climb through. Now, we ministered to this aunt of mine. Every time we would go there, she was so happy when I got healed. But she would not turn away from her Hindu gods. And we started praying for her. And 2 years ago, Jesse had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. She gave her heart to the Lord, but she would continue in her Hindu prayers. She was so stooped up in that. And then 1 year ago, Jesse went to South Africa. I couldn't go with him. But while he was there, this aunt had become very, very sick, and they thought she was dying as well. So Jesse had the iPad and he got me on Skype and I spoke to this aunt and I said, I used to call her Big Ma because she was my big mother. I said, Big Ma, Jesse is there in South Africa and let him pray for you, and the same Jesus that healed me can heal you as well. She said, I know He can, I know He can. So Jesse prayed for her and my aunt got healed, because my aunt had renal failure. She had to go on dialysis and her whole body was swollen. And when I looked at her on Skype, it wasn't the arm that I knew. Her face was like three times its size. And I said, Big Ma, the same Jesus that healed me can heal you as well. And she said, I believe. And you know, Jesse prayed for her, and that big body of hers that was three times its size, within a matter of it was overnight, that body came back to its normal size. My aunt got healed. The Lord healed her. And the beginning of this year, at the age of 86, she went home to be with the Lord. Now see, that's the God that you and I serve. He is the God of His word. It doesn't matter how hard the person is. You might think, Lord, this person is, nothing can save him. But there is only one that can, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't give up hope, no matter how bad the person might be, no matter how bad the sin he commits, he is faithful. And you know, the Bible tells us that His mercy endures forever. God does not want anybody to go to hell. It doesn't matter what the person has done. His mercy endures forever. They never come to an end. And every day they are new in our lives. My aunt got saved. My mom got saved. And that virtually the whole family has got saved. Now, Jesse, because of time restrictions we had at the meeting, Jesse couldn't share about his grandmother. When his mother got saved, when Christ came into the household, the grandmother kicked them out of the family. They were like the black sheep of the family. They became outcasts. The granny wouldn't even want to come into their home. That's how Hinduism is. But you know, the granny at the age of 64, Jesse's mother continued praying for her mother. At the age of 64, she was dying. She had a one eye, according to how they related to me, a one eye became purple. A blood had become poison. And every time they gave a new blood, the blood would become poisoned again. And yes, she was, her eyes was virtually purple. And they had, the doctors said they can't do anything. They gave her all the blood transfusion that they could. They couldn't do anything. Take her home, make her rest, and she'll go off to the next life. And Jesse's mother got a call from them. Jesse and them were not allowed to go to the grandmother's house. They got a call that the grandmother was dying. And she wanted to see her daughter before she died and see the grandkids. So they took the bus and they went to visit the grandmother. And yes, she was lying in this bed that, according to Hindu customs and rituals, they had the doctor there. They had the priest of the Hindu temple. So they look at this. They're very good with numerology. They look at the time, the date, all those things. The person's life departs, so they'll know what they can become in the next life. They believe in a thing called karma. So how you live your life on this earth, you become something in that life. So if you're not very good here, you might end up becoming a cockroach, or you might become a rat or something. That's how Hinduism is. And yet they had all these, the priests and all these people waiting to see the exact time her spirit departs from her body. But before that could happen, Jesse's mother and father went there and they looked at her. They were a bit scared because you don't know Jesse's grandmother. She was a terror. She was really a terror. I mean, she actually wanted her son-in-law to divorce her daughter. Which mother would do such a thing? But Jesse's grandmother would wanted that to happen. And yeah, they went. They were very scared. But they said, doesn't matter, we'll go. Mother can die anytime, but where she's going is another story. So they went there, and before they left, they said, Ma, can we pray for you? And she said, okay. So they prayed, and they said, Lord, please save her. We don't want her to go to a lost eternity. And they went back home. And you know, this loving God that you and I serve is so full of mercy, so full of compassion. This old lady was so wicked in her life. She did a lot of wicked things, but still he loved her so much. At 2 o'clock in the morning, all the families and everybody was gathered around her waiting for her to die. Suddenly she got up and she started screaming, where is he? Where is he? And they had this eye patch over her eye. She pulled this thing out and they looked at her and they said, what is wrong? She said, where is he? And she started looking for someone. And they couldn't fathom who she was looking for. And they said, what happened, Ma? What happened? She said, He came here, but I couldn't see his face. And they said, who came? She said, there was this man, this big, tall, white man. He was a tall man, dressed all in white. But he was shining so brightly, I couldn't see his face. But all he did was, he stretched forth his hands, and he said, my daughter, be thou healed. And out of the palm of his hand came a ball of fire and it hit her on that eye that was damaged. And when they took out that dressing, whatever, she had a perfect eye. And she phoned the next morning and Jesse's mother and them rushed over again thinking that she had died. And there she was, perfectly whole, sitting there. Now you see, God is so loving. No matter how cruel you can be on this earth, he still loves you. All you have to do is repent. And he saved Jesse's granny. And from that, because the matriarch was saved, the Bible tells me that if you bind the strong man, you will take his spoil. She was the strong man in that family. And when she got saved, all the others started following like in a domino effect. And that's how the Lord saved them. So He is our Savior. This is the God that you and I serve. He is also my provider. Now this is so great. There's so much that I can share about God being our provider. When Jesse had his own motor mechanic business, we did really well in this business in Melbourne. And I always would say, whatever I needed, I could just go and buy it because Jesse was the provider. But ever since I got healed and God took us away from this business and we started doing what we're doing, we started living by faith. And I said, at times it was hard because we were just living off the savings that we had. We didn't go on Social Security because we believed that God was our provider. And we had all the savings that we had, and we said we live off the savings. We would travel sometimes distance to go and pray for one person, and we did it out of our savings. And then we were renting. God took us to Brisbane, and we started renting the first house that we rented. After about 1.5 years, the landlord died. And he had 3 homes, and his children inherited them. So one of the sons inherited the house that we were living in. So he wanted to occupy the house, so we were given notice that we had to find another house. So we found another house not far away. And we were living in this house for 2 years. And then the real estate agent comes up and he says, oh, we have to sell this house. And we said, Lord, we are your children, Lord. We can't be going, whatever the children of the devil says that we have to move, we have to move. And according to your word, we ought to be the heads and not the tails. And it seems like whenever the devil say jump, we have to jump. No, we can't do this. So we told this real estate agent, no, you are not going to put the board up for sale. He said, but this lady now, she's an investor. She has investment properties all over the country. Now it's time for this 1 year to be sold. And unfortunately, you are renting this house. So we said, Lord, we prayed. So we told this real estate agent, he became a friend of Jesse. He's from New Zealand as well. And we told him, Paul, you're not going to sell this house till our God gives us a home that we can call our own. And he laughed and he said, Jesse, come on. Do you think God's going to throw a house from open the heavens and for you? He mocked our God. But you know, we prayed. And did Jesse share about how we got the first house? Do you want to hear it? Well, we decided, Lord, we're going to buy a house. And we worked out, we did our maths, the amount of savings that we had, and the amount of rent that we were paying. We said, Lord, we can buy a house only for $110,000, nothing more than that. Because the same money that we were paying for rent, we could pay for the mortgage. So we decided to start looking for a house, and you couldn't get a house for $110,000. So we searched everywhere and we couldn't. And all the real estate agents that took us around, they started getting fed up with Jesse. And I got fed up with him too, because we keep looking and wasting. I said, Jesse, you're wasting time, Jesse. We will not get a house. He said, we asked God and he told me to go and look. Now to cut a long testimony short, we found a house. It was a beautiful 3-bedroom home, which we later converted to 4 bedrooms. And it had a swimming pool, which we did a lot of baptisms in. And we found this house. But they wanted $155,000 for it. The house went on auction and they got $138,000. And they also had a buyer for $135,000 cash. And we told the Lord that we can only afford $110,000. Now in the natural, you wouldn't want to sell it for that price, right? And you got 2 buyers, $135,000, $138,000. In the natural, you want to sell it to them. So we got the contract, we signed it, and Jesse wrote there, $110,000. And the real estate agent said, no, you can't do this, Jesse. The man, the owner is going to be really upset with me to bring a contract like this. You have to go higher. Jesse said, you take it to him and let's see what he says. Now the man that was selling this house, he had built a beautiful big house on an acreage. And he was a wealthy man, so he didn't really need to sell this house. So he took this contract to this man, And he looked at it. He said, no, no, no. You know I got 135, 138. Why you bring me something like this? So this real estate fellow phones back and he said, Jesse, at least if you put 120, I can take it to him. I can talk him into getting this house for you. And Jesse said, Shane, you either take it or you leave it. So he took it back to this man. And I don't know what went on in this owner's mind, but I believe the Holy Spirit had convicted him. He signed the contract. He said, I don't know why. Something tells me I have to give it to this couple. We have long Indian names. He said, I'm looking at the names. They look like foreigners. But I don't know what says within me. Give it to these people at 110,000. I say, he is the God of his word. He will provide. So, but the problem was now, how do we get a loan from the bank? Because we were living on our savings. We had no income. We used to go and do the work of the Lord. Because we were so excited, God healed me. All the money in the world couldn't compensate for God giving me new life again. So we were just too excited to go and share of how good God was in our lives. So we went to the Westpac Bank, and we wanted to get the loan, and we needed 75,000 because we had 35,000 as deposit. We needed 75,000 to buy this house. And the bank manager looked and he said, where's your wage slips? And we said, oh, we don't have wage slip. He said, oh, what work do you do? Jesse said, oh, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he looked at us and said, what is that? He said, oh, well, we go, like Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to the poor, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, where's this devils in Australia? There's no devils here. So he was like in a real mocking way. And Jesse said, don't worry, we just come here to get this loan. He said, well, I'm the bank manager. I know all the protocol that takes place in this bank. You do not qualify, not even for $10. He said, but I want to fill in the forms. And he said, we don't have any forms anymore. We do everything on the computer. So he pressed all these buttons on the computer and it came a big across the screen. He said, not applicable. He said, do you see, you can see it for yourself. You can't get the loan, Jesse. He said, but I want to fill in the forms. I am of the old school. I need forms. He said, all right. He got the forms. He said, you're doing all this for nothing. You're wasting my time, Jesse. I got so much of work here to do. Just go away. Go and find another house to rent. He said, no, I found the house. God, my God has given me this house, but I need the money from your bank. He said, you're not getting it. I'm the bank manager. I'm telling you, you're not getting it. So we went off, we filled the forms and we went home. And I was a bit grumpy with Jesse. I said, Jesse, wherever you go, you're making a fool of yourself. Now stop doing this. He said, you will see. The God that I serve is going to give me the money for that house. And we had to go and pray for someone in the hospital. And he said, you better stay at home. Yeah, I'll go myself. So he left me at home and he went off to pray for someone in the hospital. We left the bank manager's office at 11 o'clock that day. At 1 o'clock, I get a phone call. I picked up the phone. It was the bank manager. He said, where's your husband? I said, he's not home. He said, well, give him a message. Head office has approved the loan. Head office has approved. He said, he told us it's not applicable. You cannot do it. I'm the bank manager. I know I cannot give it. It's not what you say. It's what my God says. And prior to that, when he refused to give us this, Jesse had so much of confidence. He had so much of confidence in this God. And the word of God says, they that know their God shall do mighty exploits. He had so much of confidence because he's seen me raised from life to death. And he looked at this bank manager and he says, you know what? I'm not asking you for your money. I'm asking you for my God's money. You know, the silver and the gold of this world belongs to my God. The cattle on the thousand hills belongs to my God. And you don't want to give me what belongs to me. And the bank manager thought he was mad. But you know, God said, if you acknowledge him before man, he will acknowledge you before the Father in heaven. We might become fools in the sight of man, but in the sight of God, he looks down at us and he says, well done, my child. I'm so well pleased in you. And that's what he did. Within 2 hours, the head office approved for the loan for that house. So we got the house, we moved in, and we had We had so many baptisms in that place. It was so glorious. But after a while, we used to get a lot of people coming in for help. And the lounge and the bedrooms were like close to each other. And my children were little at that time. And sometimes we'd have people coming over for help and they had marital problems. And they would fight amongst themselves right in my lounge room. And they would swear and call each other names. And it worried Jesse and I because our children were still little then. And we didn't want them to hear these bad words that were coming out. So Jesse used to go and pray in a bush. It was like 10 minutes away from where we lived. A friend of ours had 26 acres. And right at the end of this acreage, he had given Jesse together himself, Jesse and a few other brothers would go there and pray every morning. Jesse would leave home at about 4 o'clock in the morning and spend beautiful, quiet times with the Lord. And the Lord visited him while he was there in this bush. And one day while he was coming from there, the Lord directed him to take a turn into one of the most exclusive suburbs in Brisbane, where there's million-dollar houses. And Jesse drove in there, and beautiful houses. And the Lord, and he looked at this, he said, "Lord, why are you bringing me into this area? These are such expensive houses." And the Lord looked at him and he said, "See all these houses here? It's nothing for me. I can provide you with one of those houses." And Jesse said, "Lord, I'm so thankful for the house you gave. I'm happy with the house I got. I don't need this. But if you can, I'd like a room for myself, my prayer room. Because sometimes in winter it gets cold and it's raining. He still goes to the bush. Even if it's raining, he would still go to the bush and pray." And he said, "Lord, it would be nice if I had a house with my own prayer room that I can pray. And it would be good that if I had people that come to my house, they don't have to hear, my children don't have to hear of all the problems that's going. Sometimes they have real problems. You don't want anyone else to know. It's only between Jesse and them." So we started praying, and the Lord led Jesse one day. There was an auction taking place in a really nice suburb, not far from where we lived. So he went there, and they were auctioning this land, a beautiful block of land, a corner block of land. And the Lord said, "I want you to bid for this land." And we said, "Lord, but we can't. We only got, during that two or three years we were living in this house, we had managed to save some money. And we had a block of land in Melbourne that we sold. So we had $65,000. And the man was wanting about $95,000 for this block of land. And Jesse felt within himself the Lord say, "I want you to bid for this land." And he said, "Lord, I can't do it, Lord. This is a very expensive area. I can't do it." And on the day of auction, there were so many people that came for this block of land. And they were, you can see they were all, with the cars that they came, they were very, very wealthy people. And Jesse said, "Lord, I cannot go a cent over $65,000. You know this is all that I have." And the bidding started. And Jesse said 60, I mean, they started from about 50 and it came to 65, and Jesse said 65. And then nobody wanted to bid after that. The Lord shut their mouths. Even if they bid it for $10 more, they could have got it. So the real estate phoned the owner, he was in Perth, and he said, "We got a buyer here for $65,000. He said, "No, start the auction again, but this time start at 65. So they started, and it was Jesse that put his hand up, 65. Not a single person raised his hand to bid for that land again. And the Lord gave it to us at 65. Now this is the God that you and I serve. He is Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He will give you your needs, all that you need, but not your greeds. The problem is now, we got the land, now we need to build a house. How are we going to build this house? Oh, I think I'm running ahead of time. While we were in that other house, the Lord that he blessed us, in 1996, God made provisions for us. He spoke to Jesse, he said, "I want you to go to South Africa and go and share with them how good I have been and how I healed your wife." Because they heard about it. We made the booklets. We sent it to South Africa. But we had not seen them since I got healed. And the Lord is saying, "I want you to go to South Africa and tell them. Tell your people. Be like the Gadarenes man. Go and tell them how good I have been to you." But we said, "Lord, we don't have that kind of money now to go." And he said, "Go and book your tickets." So we booked the tickets in about April, May, and we were going in November. And we said, Lord, if you want us to go, then you are going to show us, you're going to provide the money. Around August, September, October, the money started coming in. People would phone us and say, one lady called us and she says, I'm a Sikh woman. I'm a believer in the Lord. We knew this dear lady, but her husband wouldn't allow her to go to church. So she had collected all her tithes and she had kept it. And now the Lord said, spoke to her and I said, I want you to take all the money that you saved. I want you to give it to Jesse. And she called us and all the money just started coming in. Before we left to South Africa, all that money was paid. So the Lord wanted us to go. And we went to South Africa. We shared so many places of how good God has been to us. Then we came, but while we were in South Africa in 96, a friend called us. And he said, I don't know why, but God said, I must ask you, what's your bank account? And Jesse said, no, you don't have to worry. My mortgage has already been paid right up till February. We left in November, so we make sure we paid our mortgage. So when we come back the next year, our mortgage would have been on the spot. And this man called us from Melbourne. He said, the Lord said, I must ask you, what's your bank account number? And Jesse said, no, you don't need it. The mortgage has already been paid till February. He said, no, it doesn't matter. God said, I must put this money in your account. So we gave him the number over the phone. But as Jesse put the phone down, he said he heard this audible voice telling him, his mother was there in that room where the phone was. And he said, I'm going to pay your mortgage off. He heard this voice say, I'm going to pay your mortgage off. And he asked his mom, did you hear what I heard? And she said, what you heard? The Lord's going to pay my mortgage off. And she says, no, Jesse, I didn't hear anything. But it was just between the Lord and him. God spoke to him. But while we were preaching in the church the next day, and as Jesse was sharing the testimony, he heard the same voice again. But this time the voice said, tell the people, the next time you see them, your mortgage is going to be paid off. So he was very excited. He said, you know, the next time I see you, the mortgage is going to be paid off. But he didn't know when the next time was going to be. Because I got healed in 91, and this was 5 years later that God made provisions for us to go to South Africa. So we thought maybe another 5 years' time. So we were excited. We told them the Lord said that the next time I see you, the mortgage is going to be paid off. But the next year, 1997, the Lord spoke to Jesse while in the bush again, and he said, you're going to go to South Africa this year again. And he said, Lord, this is impossible, Lord, because I told those people in South Africa, the next time I see them, the mortgage is going to be paid off. Now, how am I going to do that, Lord? We still have a big mortgage on this house. We borrowed $75,000. And the Lord said, trust in me. Trust in me. Do what you are doing, and I'm going to pay your mortgage off. But you know, sometimes we doubt God. And that's when doubt comes in, it's not God. It's the enemy that does that. So we started praying again and we started making arrangements. God said we have to go to South Africa in 1997. We booked our tickets again. And just before we had to leave, God sent someone and they paid off the tickets. But now how are we going to go to South Africa? Because we told them God's going to pay the mortgage off. We don't want to make God a liar. And Jesse was pretty adamant that the voice that he heard was definitely God's. Because God said in his word, my sheep hear my voice, and a strange voice they will not follow. So is this God's voice telling him that, or is it a strange voice? But he was confident within himself it was God saying it to him. So we went, just before we left, we had a brother that called us and said, oh, Jesse, I need your bank account. And he said, for what? He said, God said, I must put some money in your bank account. And a few of them did that. So before we left for South Africa, we went to the bank again to get this mortgage thing sorted out. Because we always like to pay the mortgage ahead of time so that when we come back from South Africa, we don't have to worry about it. So we went back, and the same bank manager that was there that gave us the hassles, he called us in and he said, oh, you came to sort out your mortgage. He said, yes. So he went through all that, and Jesse had some checks or something that he had to deposit. He put that in, and he looked at this thing, and he kept looking at it, and Jesse said, is something wrong? He said, nothing is wrong, but this is so unusual. There's something happened. It's so amazing. You said, why? He said, well, when I'm calculating all the monies that has come into your account, after you put this money in, you owe only $300. $300! God had made provisions. The mortgage was paid off. Jesse just had to pay $300 more, and the mortgage was wiped out. And that is the God of His word. He is the God of the impossible. What is impossible with man is not impossible with our God. So we went to South Africa. Jesse was so pumped up. God had kept His word. The voice that he heard, the next time you preach in this church, your mortgage is going to be paid off. And he was so excited to go to South Africa because here he comes with his testimony. Jesus is Jehovah Jireh, the God our provider, and he did it. Now this is the God that you and I serve. Now we do a lot of work among the Aboriginal people in Australia. And we do that a lot because when God called Jesse into this, God gave him the scripture. He said, go and preach the gospel to the poor. And a lot of people don't want to go and preach to the poor because they don't get anything from the poor. And when we go up there, we take a lot of stuff from Brisbane. And we just had an ordinary car. And we take things up. We needed to get a trailer. So we said, Lord, you know our needs, Lord. We take a lot of things. We take a lot of clothing for the Aboriginal people. And if possible, if we have place, we take a lot of food as well. But Lord, we can't do it in our car that we have. So I think it's time, Lord, will you give us a four-wheel drive? So we went around looking for a four-wheel drive, but it was so expensive. But you know, after seeing what God can do and what He has done, it was really pumped up. So Jesse said, yes, I'm going to buy this four-wheel drive. So we went and we looked and we seen this beautiful Pajero. And we said, Lord, you're going to give us this Pajero because where we go, some places, there's no roads there. We have to go through dirt roads. So we went and God spoke to a man. This man is an Italian man and he's very, very, very thrifty with every cent that he has. He'd rather eat dandelions than go and buy some food. Now, he was the man that owned that 26 acres that Jesse used to go pray in that bush. And he called Jesse one day and he said, the Lord is saying that you are looking for a four-wheel drive. And Jesse said, yeah, I brought it before the Lord and God's going to give me a four-wheel drive. He said, oh, I need a four-wheel drive too. Can you ask God to give me one? He said, well, if I can ask God for one and if you are His child, you ask Him for one too. So we went looking and this man came looking with us. And we found the car that we liked. And this man found the car that he liked as well. But we found the one that we could afford. But he was a pretty wealthy man. And he looked at the top of the range car. So he bought the Pajero Exceed with leather seats and all the trimmings that came with it. And that's what he ordered. And we ordered the bottom of the range car because that's what we could afford. And the day that we went to pick it up, he came along with us. And God spoke to him. And we had to take a redraw on our mortgage to buy this four-wheel drive. But the day that we were going to pick up the car, this man came to pick his car up as well. So as Jesse was talking to the car salesman, he was sitting there and he was busy with his paperwork. And the car salesman comes and he gives us this doc or whatever papers they were signing. He gives it to Jesse and it says paid. And he said, but I haven't paid you yet. I'm going to go get the check. I haven't paid you yet. And the man said, you don't have to worry. That man, they paid it for you. But you know what? When they were signing the papers, God told him, you take the car that Jesse ordered and you give him the car that you ordered for yourself. So we got the top of the range car and he got the bottom of the range car. How good God is. He gives His children the best. And my motto in life today is, my God always provides the best at a price I can afford. Because every sin that I have comes from Him. And He always does that. He gives us the best that I can afford. And you know, I love cheese. I love all kinds of cheeses. Now, when we first started in this ministry, Jesse was a bit cautious with the money that we had because we were living by faith and we had to be wise with the finances that God gave us. So we went into the shop and I said, oh, Jesse, I love the smoked cheese. Can you please buy me a piece? He said, Normally in Melbourne when we live, I could just go buy whatever I wanted. But he said, can you take a small piece? Because I do not have so much of money to buy the big one. I said, doesn't matter. As long as a small piece would be fine. So I bought it. We went home and I enjoyed this piece of smoked cheese. That Sunday we went out and we preached. And when we got home that day, right in my front door, there was this massive basket. And in the basket we had beautiful avocados with crackers. And there was a host of beautiful cheeses. All the lovely cheeses that I couldn't afford at that time. God sent someone with this basket of cheese. And he knew that I loved this cheese. And inside it was an envelope with a whole lot of money. Nobody's name. It was anonymous. All they said was, keep up the good works. Continue doing what you are doing. And that's how he even knows your, not even your needs, he even knows your thoughts. He is definitely Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, God my healer. He healed me, he healed my mother, he healed my aunt, he healed so many people in my family. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He gave us the house, he gave us the land, he gave us the car. He's still giving us today. Another exciting thing, I have 3 children. I have a girl, boy, and a girl. Now, my eldest girl had finished her degree at the University of Queensland, and she qualified as a food scientist and nutritionist. And she was going through this the internet, and she found out that they were looking for a candidate to do a PhD in food science and nutrition, and it was going to cost $120,000 a year. And she said, Dad, I'd love to be a doctor of nutrition, Dad. But Dad, you don't have that amount of money for me to go and study. She's a pretty smart child. And she said, but her father said, oh, I'd love you to do that, but just ask, let's go and ask God for it. And she looked at it, she said, but Dad, it's too late, Dad. The application's closed tonight, or closed last night. And this was the next morning. She said, Dad, doesn't matter, it's too late. Jesse said, Annie, you fill in the application on the internet and we'll pray if it is God's will, you will get it. And more than that, God will pay for it. He will do it. If that's God's will, he will do it. So she went and she did all what she had to do on the internet. And before she pressed the send button, she said, Dad, can you come pray for it? And he prayed, and the professor was in Hong Kong at that time. And we prayed, and as she pressed the send button, we said, God, we believe in you that you will enable Annie to get her PhD in this. And immediately, as she set the send button, not even 5 minutes later, she gets a reply from the professor in Hong Kong. You are the candidate we were looking for. They had so many applications, and she was the one that sent it after the applications closed. But God, in his mercy and his grace, she was the applicant that they were looking for. And more than that, God gave her a full scholarship. So it cost her over $500,000. And she got a full scholarship. She qualified as a food scientist and nutritionist. She got a PhD. She had a beautiful job in Melbourne at the University of Melbourne, lecturing and doing research. But you know, as parents, we really missed her. Because she's been away for 3.5 years. And she's been working really long hours in Melbourne. And when we have family occasions, and he's always missing there. And I felt really sad as a mother. I think when we sit around the table and have dinner, and he's all by herself. So we prayed. We said, Lord, if it be possible, Lord, can you bring Annie back home? But you have to give her a job in Brisbane. And we said, Annie, okay, you can go and see if you can apply for a job in Brisbane. And so she went on the internet and she was looking. And there was this really good job that came up at MLA. This is a multinational company. It's a big company. And she applied for this job, but she didn't get the job because someone inside the company had applied and they got the job. And her father said, don't worry, Annie, you keep trusting God. But the lady that was in charge of the applications, as she went through all the resumes, she came across Annie's. And she took this application to the CEO of MLA and she said, have a read of this resume. And the lady looked at it and she said, I have never ever seen an application, a resume like this before. In 2012, Annie was the national scientist of the year in the whole of Australia. And she looked at her and she said, I never seen a resume like this. Get hold of this person for me. So her secretary called Annie and she said, the CEO of MLA would like to speak to you. And he said, oh, really? I mean, Annie was a bit shocked because why would she got the thing that she was not successful as the applicant for that job. Why would the CEO want to speak to me? And then the CEO came and she said, I would like you, I haven't met you, but I'd like you to come on board my team. Now she has an exclusive group of people just in that group, right eye up. And she said, Annie, I would like you to be part of my team. I've seen your ethics and I've seen all this. And I don't know, something is telling me that you ought to be part of my team. So Annie said, where are you based? She said, head office, Sydney. She said, oh, Sydney. I'm in Melbourne, but I don't want to go to Sydney. I'd love to go to Brisbane because parents are there. She said, oh, that's no problem. We have a branch in Brisbane. You can go to Brisbane. We'll fly you down every week, two or three times a week. You can come to head office. So on the 20th of June, in a couple of weeks' time, Annie starts in Brisbane. So she'll be back home with us. God has given us the answer to our prayers again. God is truly a God of His Word. I can go on and on and on and share with you how good God has been. Yesterday, my youngest daughter, she just turned 24 last week. She calls us and she said, Dad, I just went to the university here and I got my ID card. And we said, what is it for, Cleanne? She said, God has made provisions for me to study for my Masters of Human Resource, Public Relations, or something of that sort. She's a cardiac scientist at the moment, working at the Logan Hospital. But while she'll be working at the Logan Hospital, God has made provisions for her to study full scholarship again and get her master's degree. Now you see, we just go out and we go and tell everybody how good God is, but He takes care for the others. He takes care for my children. He does His part while we do what little we can for Him to go. All we do, I always say this, we are nothing special. Jesse and I are nothing special. We are just like the Gadarenes man. And you know the story of the Gadarenes man. He was bound up with chains and he lived in the graveyards. And nobody could tame him because he had so many demons in him. He had legions of demons in him. But when Jesus set him free, he was free indeed. And he wanted to follow Jesus. Wherever Jesus went, he wanted to follow Jesus. But what did Jesus say? He said, go and tell. Go and tell your families. Go and tell your friends how good I have been to you. And that's what Jesse and I do. Wherever God leads us, we follow. And we just go and tell people how good God has been to us. And if He can do it for me, He surely can do it for you. He's not only the God that heals, He's also our Savior. He can save anybody. He's not only that, He's also Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He provides all our needs. And He's also our protector. While we're in South Africa in 2012, we come from the city of Durban. And after we got married, we moved to Port Elizabeth. I was teaching there and Jesse was doing engineering there. But while we were in South Africa in 2012, we decided to take the children. We never took them. South Africa is a very, very pretty place, like Queenstown. But from Durban, if you drive down right to Cape Town, to the bottom of Cape Town, it's called the Garden Route. It's very, very pretty. But we never take our children there because every time we went to families in Durban. So this time, now they're all adults, we decided let's take them down for a ride from Durban because I have a sister living in Cape Town and Jesse has a brother living in Cape Town. So we thought, let's go for a long drive. We really didn't have a holiday with them. They grew up all the time. Wherever we went for meetings, they would come and they would sit in the corner and listen to us. But they never really have a holiday. So 2012, we decided, okay, we'll have a holiday. After doing all the preaching, let's take them for a break. And a friend of ours had a beautiful Cadillac. A Cadillac is a really good car. It's fantastic. And this man is a very wealthy businessman. And he had this Cadillac. And he so willingly lent it to us. He said, Jesse, take this car and go and have a holiday with your family. So we decided to drive down from Durban to Cape Town. But if you know South Africa, at the moment South Africa is pretty violent. I mean, it's not as violent as it was when apartheid was abolished. That was when it was really wild and very dangerous. But it's easing off a bit, but it's still dangerous. You cannot go into certain areas. You can get yourself into trouble. And Jesse's mother told us, do not leave in the afternoon. Leave early in the morning so you can travel during the night and find a place where you can stay overnight. But Jesse said, no, we want to leave in the afternoon. Jesse likes driving in the night. Even here in Australia, he likes driving in the night. So we decided about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we started on our trip, our long, long road trip. It's like driving from Brisbane to Melbourne. It's a long trip. But on the way, we had to pass this predominantly African township. Now, it's pretty dangerous in some of the areas if you don't know. So we had to drive through this African township where there were just the native Africans of South Africa in this in the Transkei. And while driving through that area, we got lost. And we're driving in a Cadillac, a new Cadillac. And South Africa is noted for carjacking. They will just, if they like your car, they'll just shoot you and drive off with your car. And here we're driving with this really expensive Cadillac. And we drove into this area and we got lost. And it's pitch black. And we didn't have GPS and all that. And it's pretty dangerous in this area. And they could have just killed us and taken the car. But while we were there in the car, we prayed Psalms 91. Lord, you give your angels charge over us. And suddenly, out of the blue, there was this van went past us. And as he went, we followed this van because he was leading the way with his lights. And there was no light, no street lights, nothing. It's pitch black. And we followed this van, and he led us out of this dangerous area back onto the main highway. And we were safe because God gave his, and I believe that van could have been sent there by God himself. And as we reached the highway, the van disappeared. Because he's God, he sent his angels to encamp around us. And they protected us. So everything that God is in his word. And all we have to do is just believe. You know, he's given us, each one of us, a tiny measure of faith. He said, all you need is faith as a grain of a mustard seed. Now, you know how tiny a mustard seed is? Some of us cannot even see it with our naked eye. It's so small. But that mustard seed faith, Jesus said, if you have that tiny amount of faith, you can say to this beautiful mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into this lake and it shall be done. I mean, it looks impossible. Think about it. If I talk to that mountain and say, go into that lake, it seemed impossible. But Jesus said, it is possible. All you have to do is believe. And tonight or this afternoon, I just want to encourage you. If God can do it for me, he can surely do it for you. And he's the same God. He never changes. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same. And what he can do for me, he can do for you as well. And you just be encouraged. No matter what your need is, no matter what your problems are, Jesus is your answer. So if you want, anyone needs prayer, if you want to stand proxy for someone, then I'm willing to stand together with you, because he said, if two shall agree and ask anything in my name, it shall be done. So I hope you are encouraged and blessed that God is truly the God of his word. Amen.